Amen. Thank you so much that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. We can know that we have eternal life. We don't have to wait till we stand in front of God and stand in front of Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait until we stand in front of the judge. We can know right now. We can own eternity right now. Isn't that wonderful? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I get excited about Christmas time. I love Christmas. I love the lights, and I love the decorations. I do love the memories I have with those who have gone before during Christmas. I love the food. But Christmas time is special for one reason, and that's because it's Jesus Christ's birthday. How many of you have a special birthday you celebrate? You have a wife, you have a daughter, a son, you have a special birthday. You better not forget those dates. There is a birthday, there is a date that this world does not forget. Some fight against it, but we don't forget the birthday of Jesus Christ. No matter what you believe, you know what happens on December 25th. Jesus was born. Let's look in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Read verse 37 with me together. Ready? "For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." We've been going over this thought of Christmas impossible. We talked about the God of the impossible. What a great God we serve. He is not limited to the laws of science. You say, why is that? Because he created this world. The laws that we abide by, through the scientific laws that we abide by, God created them. He doesn't have to abide by them. He doesn't have to come under a scientific law. God is a great God. Everything is possible with God. Anything is possible with God. We looked at the God of the impossible, and last week we talked about the gift, the impossible gift. The thought was that we didn't deserve that gift, but he gave it anyway. And Jesus Christ came and died for us. And we're celebrating the moment he came to earth, the moment he was robed in flesh, when he was born in Bethlehem. Now today I want to continue that thought of the gift with this thought: the gift that keeps on giving. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray that you help us now. Speak through your word. Do what I cannot do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What gifts did you get last year? Anybody remember a gift they received last year? Anybody? Come on, you could talk out. Yes. Cast iron pots. Cast iron pots. Those are useful. And you're still using those and cleaning them, right? Yeah. Cast iron. That's a good one. Anybody else? Anybody else remember? How many of you do not remember a gift you got last year? There's more hands that do not remember a gift they got last year. All right. Husbands, you're in trouble if you raised your hand, all right? How many of you remember a gift you got 2 years ago? All right, Megumi, what gift did you get 2 years ago? You raised your hand. You got a purse. Is that purse still with you today?
Yes.
Okay. Not yet sold in a yard sale. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else remember something? Yes.
A Pandora bracelet,
and she has it on today. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you cannot remember a gift you received 2 years ago? You can't remember that. More hands are up. How many of you 5 years ago? You can't remember a gift you got 5 years ago. Very good. How many of you can't remember what happened last week? So let's eliminate you from this conversation. Amen. And we are going to get gifts this Christmas, aren't we? Wonderful gifts. Some of you, you're excited to give those gifts. We had our Christmas with our family yesterday morning, and we were able to give our children some gifts. We're having another family come in, and so we want to give the children some gift, and then a gift from all of us, for all of us. And so we got a game, and the game board that we play, and it's like Noah's Ark game or something, and we got them each a gift. And My daughter got me a gift from the Christmas cupboard, and she was excited to give it to me, and it was goggles. And she said, because you'd come in weed eating, and your eyes would hurt from things hitting you in the eyes, so I thought this would be a good gift. I thought, well, isn't that great? A great, thoughtful gift. Amen. And I'll set them down. I hope I know where they are. And when, by the time I start weed eating, I hope I can find them. Amen. How many of you know the problem I'm going through? Yes. And so that was a wonderful gift, and I thank the Lord for that. And then I got to see my children open presents. How many parents, you enjoy that time? The children are opening those presents, and you put so much time and effort and thinking and pressing those buttons on Amazon.com. Hopefully Amazon Smile. Amen. And getting those presents and praying that, well, they'll be delivered by the time, or fighting through the crowds on Black Friday and trying to get those presents, and you spend so much time thinking about it. And then those of you who are wrapping warriors, that's not me, okay? If you want me to wrap, it's a handbag with some paper in it. Thank God for the handbags. Whoever created those handbags, thank you so much for that. But that's my kind of wrapping. Stick it in a bag, stick paper on top of it. It's beautiful. But some of you, you like to wrap it and put that, and some of you even wrap the bow, not the ones, bows that have the sticky on it, you just put on there. You like to wrap and tie the bow up top, and it's nice and beautiful. And you set it underneath a tree, and within seconds, all that is gone. Because the purpose of that beautiful paper and that nice little bow is just to hide what's under there, the gift. And it's all about presentation. But for a child, they don't care about that. They care about what's inside. And they want to know about that gift. And if you can ask the children today that just left what they got for Christmas last year, they may not remember. Some of them may not even be able to find some of their gifts they got from last year. But I say all that to say this. There is a gift that you can receive that you will never forget. There is a gift that you can receive. Did you hear me? That you can receive that will keep on giving. That will keep on giving. Isn't that wonderful? It's kind of like the pots. They're a gift that keeps on giving. Amen? Don't you want a gift that keeps on giving? I want us to look at the verse, the number 38 in our text. It says, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold the handmaid of the Lord." Now, the angel has come and presented her with God's will for her life. And she says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Now, she is pronouncing her relationship, number one, the relationship of that gift. The relationship of that gift. You see, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, when we finally accept the free gift, did you hear me? I said it's free to you. That should be a time of rejoicing there. Should be a time of rejoicing there. It's free to you. How many of you rejoice when you get something free? You call somebody, don't you? Ladies, you'll never guess what kind of deal I got. I got a buy one, get one free. Over at Kohl's or JCPenney's or whatever store, you need to go find it. You can buy one and get one for free. We even get excited about buy one and get one half off. I don't get excited about that, but some might. Buy one and get one half. And we get excited about these things. But salvation, the gift that keeps on giving, was not buy one and get one. It was completely free. And still is. It still is. The gift of salvation, it's not going through a plan of works. Watch this. Watch this now. If you have to work your way to heaven, if you have to accomplish certain things to get to heaven, then why did Jesus Christ have to die? Why did Jesus Christ do the work if you have to do the work? Also, number two, the Bible says that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? It's not for us to earn. It's not for us to earn. And when Mary presented herself as a handmaid, she was presenting herself in a relationship with God. There's a relationship. She's pronouncing this relationship with God as a handmaid. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world. Let me ask you something. Are you in this world? Absolutely. Some of you, your minds aren't. You have wondered, but you're part of this world. You are a human being in this world. And God says, listen, for God loves you. God loves you. If you're here today, God loves you. If you're out there today, God loves you. If you're in prison today, God loves you. God loves the world. I want you to know God loves you. I want you to know that you're a sinner. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? How many wives knew your husband was a sinner? How many of your wives knew how many of your husbands knew your wives were a sinner? How many of your parents know your kids are sinners? Amen? We know everybody else is a sinner, but we got to realize we are a sinner, and we are in need of a Savior. Why is that? Because when we were born with our sin nature, we were born separated from God. We were born to die. We were born with the sin nature that gives us death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. My payment for being a sinner is death. But the what of God? The gift of God. The gift of God, Jesus Christ, is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And we are able to receive that gift. To receive that gift. I want to challenge you. There's only two religions. There are those that believe they can earn their way to heaven, and there are those who believe that Jesus Christ paid it all. And if you're trusting, and by the way, there are a lot of people that are trusting in themselves to get to heaven, I want you to know that is not the biblical way. That is the biblical way to hell. The biblical way to heaven is for you to come into a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, by simply accepting Him as your Savior. Accepting the free gift. Accepting that free gift. Have you accepted that free gift? Or are you accepting a plan? A payment plan. I pray that you will accept Jesus Christ today. It's not worth going out those doors and chancing eternity. Because we all know we can pass away just like that. My wife read of a lady, 62 years old, got in a hit and run, just a swipe. Somebody swiped her car. Went to church with my wife. Was on staff when at my wife's school. My wife knows her daughter very well. She had so much anxiety about this hit and run that she had a heart attack and died right there. Healthy. No signs of that. But the life on earth ended just like that. And that can happen. Our life can end quickly. Just like that. Have you received that gift, that relationship, that relationship? Have you wondered why the angels stood around for Mary's answer? Look at this. Look at verse 38. Verse 37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." His final words, this angel's final words to Mary. Now, why didn't the angel just go right back to heaven? Why did the angel just stick around for an answer from Mary? Everything the angel was saying was a proclamation, was it not? What was it, a question? Was the angel questioning Mary? No, it was a proclamation. Here's what's going to happen, Mary. Don't fear. This is what's going to happen. But then Gabriel did not just up and out. He waited. You ever think about that? We know that God chose Mary. But isn't it wonderful? God wanted to hear Mary choose God. Wow. Isn't that something? God wants to hear you choose Him. Know this, that this angel was obeying his Creator, but God has chosen Mary, and God wanted Mary to. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." What is she saying? "I choose you, God, whatever you want. Furthermore," she says, "be it unto me according to thy word." What you just said, God's will for my life, I accept. I want you to know God's will for your life, first of all, is to accept the gift that keeps on giving. What a personal God we serve. He's my God, the handmaid of the Lord. I am your handmaid. You are now my master. He says, the handmaid of the Lord. What does that mean, the Lord? He says, she's saying, capital L, you are my master, Lord. You are in charge of me. You're the one who signs my paychecks. You're my God, my master. I am your handmaid. I am your servant. You are my master. Here's our relationship. That word handmaid is talking about a servant or a slave. Not involuntary, but voluntary. I'm giving my rights up to be your servant, Lord. I'm giving all my wants up, and I'm letting you choose, Lord, what I need. I'm just a steward. I'm just a servant for you. I am your handmaid. What a great relationship. Let me tell you this. He can be your God too. And if you're saved, listen to this. He can be your Lord, your master. You see, He's Elohim. He's my powerful God. He is Elyon. He is my most high God. He is my Elroy. He is my God who sees me, and He sees my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He is God Almighty, my God Almighty. He is Jehovah. He is the Lord, my God. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is my God of peace. He is Jehovah Rahi. He is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He is a personal God. In Psalms chapter 23, many of you can quote this. But as you receive this gift, the Lord is your shepherd. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. You see, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies and anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Sometimes, no, all the days of my life. And I love this part. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of that gift. What a gift. It's a gift that's personal. It's a gift that's progressive. We should be getting closer and closer to God, should we not? I want you to understand this, that when we're saved, we don't become perfect people. In God's eyes, he sees us as he sees the blood. He sees Jesus Christ, his son. But we still have to live in this flesh, don't we? The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life, there it is, and the life which I now live, what a decision in the flesh. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's the decision we must come to. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. I want to be a good child of God. I want to bring glory to God. I want to be closer to God. My Savior, my Jehovah, my El Shaddai, my God of peace. Lord, I'm your handmaid. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. Then we see the reality of the gift. The reality. Real quick, I want you to see this. The price stops. The price stops. How many of you ever been in a restaurant with friends or family members? And there's that awkward moment. You know what I'm talking about. The table's there. We're having a good time. We've just ordered our water. We've ordered our coffee. You've ordered your Coke. I hope you ordered Diet Coke. But you've ordered whatever you're going to order. And I'm just joking. And the waitress comes back and gets your order. And then before she leaves, she asks that all-important question with so many people. Are we splitting this check up or is it one check? And then there's that awkward pause because you're thinking, well, maybe somebody will say it's one check and they'll pay for mine. All right? Those of you that are not laughing, okay, I know you thought that, all right? All right, I'm not out here on a limb, okay? I know you thought that. College students, I know you think that. Yeah, I was a college student, absolutely. All right? Isn't it good when somebody says, hey, look, I got this. I got this. That's what God says. It's one check. It's one check. Put it on my account. I got it. He took what I owed. I don't owe anything now. He paid it all. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Listen to this. For he shall save his people from their sins. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. There's the price that stops. But then there's the peace that starts. The price stops, but the peace starts. How many of you remember that age-old character of Christian walking through the wilderness with a burden in Pilgrim's Progress? What a great book. He couldn't sell it. But once he got rid of that burden of sin, what peace, what joy he had. And that's the kind of peace you can feel too. Some of you, maybe someone here, has never felt that peace. The only peace that God can give. Here's the peace. Here's where the peace comes from. I don't have to repay God anything. I don't owe God anything. God paid it all. I don't owe him anything. I want to give him my life, though. That should be our attitude. I want to give him my life. There was a man who sought a perfect picture of peace. Wanted to see this painting that exemplified peace, and wanted to buy it, and he was kind of a wealthy man, and he wanted to see it as a masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide all across the globe. Finally, the great day of the revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another. And each peaceful scene that was uncovered, the crowd began to clap as they enjoyed that scene. At the end, there was only two pictures that remained, and as the judge pulled the cover from one, there was a hush that fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along with a grassy shore, a flock of sheep that was grazing undisturbed. And surely this had to be the winner. But then the next painting was unveiled. And the man with the vision rose to his feet as he noticed this painting. Tumultuous waterfall cascading down. It was a rocky side cliff. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds in the sky, threatening to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a tree clung to the rocks. At the edge of the falls, one of the branches reached out in front of this huge waterfall, as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. And then a little bird had built a nest in the elbow of this branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. And the man stood up and said, "That's the painting. That's the peace I want." Because how many of you know this world is chaotic? This world is wicked and things are going on. How many of you know December, there's a lot going on. Many people wanted you to be all things for everybody. You have to do this and do that. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. And don't forget to pay this. Don't forget to pay that. And it seems like something happens one after another, and it seems like it's a storm surrounding you, but you can find peace. Because peace is found in that gift that keeps on giving, the gift of Jesus Christ. Lastly, I want you to look at this thought, the rejoicing of the gift. Look down at verse 46 in our passage of Scripture. After Mary says, I'm your handmaid, whatever your word does, whatever you spoke in your word, I will do. Here's what she says. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. As soon as that happened, she went and visited Elizabeth. And it was a wonderful scene. Right after that, we see Mary and her praise. And I want you to look at the first two verses of her praise. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46 says, as Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now this is, I don't want you to look at this like a list. Like, okay, first of all, her soul magnified the Lord. Secondly, her spirit, because that's not how it was. Think of it as an outside working in. She's explaining it from outside in. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Creed? Well, the soul, what is the soul? The soul is the mind or the emotion. It's who you are, what you think about. Nobody can see that. That's the soul. Now, let's go just a little bit deeper and let's go into the spirit. The spirit is deeper. It's what we use to commune with God. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what happens here? She mentions her soul, and then she mentions her spirit. What happens in this thought? Within my spirit is manifested in my soul. What happens in my spirit is manifested in my soul. So what goes on in the deeper parts of me, the spirit, whether I commune with God or whether I reject God and reject worshiping God and communing with God, whatever happens in my soul, it's manifested or shown in my spirit. And whatever happens in my spirit, or soul in my soul, whatever happens in my spirit shows my soul, and whatever goes on in my soul will come out in my flesh. You see how that works? Beginning in the spirit. When you open your Bible in the morning and you worship God and you read the Bible and you have time with God and you pray with God, that is with your spirit. You're communing with God with your spirit. And what that does is that helps your thought life and your emotions. No matter what happens that day, it brings peace that passes all understanding and it helps your soul. And then when your soul is helped, you make good decisions for your flesh. So let's look at that with that mindset. First, the spirit. What happened in her spirit? In verse 47, it says what? Her spirit what? And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, in Theos, my Savior, above all. Theos, my Savior, Master of all, my Savior. Mary was rejoicing in the salvation, in the gift of God. When Jesus died, he died as my representative, and I died in him. When he rose as my representative, and I arose in him. When he ascended up on high and took his place at the right hand of the Father in the glory, he ascended as my representative, and I ascended in him. And today I am seated in Christ with God in the heavenlies. I look at the cross of Christ and I know that atonement has been made for my sins. I look at the open sepulcher and the risen and ascended Lord and I know the atonement has been accepted. There no longer remains a single sin on me, no matter how many or how great my sins may have been in the past. What a great statement by R.E. Torrey. Her spirit hath rejoiced. But I want you to look at, secondly, her soul magnified the Lord. And I'm closing with this. What does the word to magnify mean? How many of you ever had a magnifying glass? Very good. Some of you are wearing them on your eyes right now. How many of you were a boy and you used that magnifying glass to burn ants? Yeah, we have. That's not what Mary meant. Mary meant when she magnified the Lord, she was exalting him to make big in your life. 1 year, I was given a watch for Christmas. I don't wear watches, but at this time I was given a watch for Christmas. I didn't know it was a watch. When I came in, I saw a package. It's quite big. My parents were messing with me. In fact, it was quite big. It was almost up to my waist, and it was wrapped around. I thought, oh boy, this is going to be a great present. And my siblings were like, why does he get the biggest present? But it was just a watch. Now, I didn't know that, and so when I walked in, and I said, I can't wait to open that present. They said, you got to open that last. I want to open it first. I want to know what it is. And I open it, and I'm like, a microwave? Open that box. And I open that box, and all the packing peanuts I had to throw out, and then I got down to the bottom, and it took me a couple minutes, and I finally found a small box, and I opened that small box, and it was a watch. Now, if you want to disappoint somebody, you'll do that. But how many of us get so disappointed when we start magnifying earthly things? When we say, look at that big thing. Look at what I got. Look at this. New truck. I have news for you. The transmission's going to go out. Tires are going to go low. It's going to need some oil. Look what I got. This is a brand new TV. Well, in 2 years, they're going to come out with a better model. This is big. And then once we get it, we realize it's small. But then you come to Temple Baptist Church on a Sunday morning and you hear the Word of God preached and you hear that this is a gift that keeps on giving. And you see when Mary starts that relationship with Jesus, when Mary has that relationship of I'm your handmaid, I'm your servant, it's not some small gift. When you experience Jesus Christ, you realize he's bigger than you thought. He's bigger than I thought. And then when we get to heaven, we're going to realize he's even bigger than I thought. Jesus is big. Jesus is great. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you accepted that gift yet? Have you accepted that gift? And if you have you magnified that gift? We ought to make that gift big this holiday. Exalt Jesus Christ with your family, with your friends this Christmas season. Let's pray.